This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. When the Chompy Quartet steps on stage at Baldwin Auditorium at Duke University this weekend, they're going to kick off a star-studded fall season of shows. Their guests this season include Durham-born countertenor Anthony Roth Costanzo, Greenville's Marsha Little, who founded the Amarnet String Quartet, and this Saturday, the Chompy Quartet welcomes world-renowned pianist Awa Dagen Pratt. Here to tell us more about the upcoming season are violinist Eric Pritchard and Xiaomei Ku. And rounding out the Chompy Quartet is Jonathan Bagg on viola and Fred Ramey on the cello. Chompy Quartet, welcome back to The State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Let's talk about the history of this august group. It goes back to 1964. This is the 49th year for the Chompy Quartet. Give us. How did the Chompy begin? Jonathan?
Well, in 1964... Giorgio Chompy arrived. He was a very distinguished violinist. He'd been in the NBC Symphony, and then he was running the string program at the Cleveland Institute. But he came here, and when asked what he wanted to do to make him happy, he said, "I'd love to play in a string quartet." So Duke agreed, and it was actually a great thing because Duke needed high-quality string faculty. Durham has changed a lot since those days, but in those days, it was a great idea to have a quartet there to teach the students and also to be a kind of resource for the community. And in those 49 years, the quartet has developed a real strong following and a real rapport with our audience.
When North Carolina is the coolest place on earth, from the mountains to the coast now, in 1964, what brought him here?
Well, I think there was a few things. He had a friendship with the Siemens. And they admired him very much, and they were very much into promoting the arts and building the arts departments at Duke. And Fred, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was one of the main connections there.
Well, in that time, as you say, this has become a real institution and a great treasure for the state of North Carolina and for Duke University as well. So tell us a bit about this. You are on the road an awful lot, and you just got back from China recently, right? Is that right?
Yeah, we were there in December. We performed at our newest campus called the Duke Kunshan University, and we also performed at our partner university in China, Wuhan University. We gave master classes. We had awfully a lot of interactions with the university students, and also we played concerts there.
Well, that's wonderful. Does that mean that there will be a kind of music school, or there'll be a place for students to learn and study music in the Chinese campus?
Well, eventually, definitely, yes. Right now, we have only a global learning semester. So down the road, yes, we'll have a music program, I hope.
That sounds great. Well, tell us about this. I guess what I'd call it the season has actually begun, but this is kind of the fall season, and you're beginning with Haydn, which is the tradition with this group. Tell us about what's on the bill this Saturday.
Sure. Well, we've been thinking of this. This is just typically wonderful Haydn quartet. And when I joined the quartet in 1995, somehow, a little bit accidentally, we realized that we had started each of the last few seasons with a Haydn quartet, and it became a tradition that we wanted to actually maintain. So there are 83 string quartets of Haydn, and I think it's fair to say that most quartets never get around to playing all of them. Some of them are better known than others. But I think most quartet players would agree that they're all worthy and they're all almost equally wonderful. So we make it a point to try to find another one of these works that we haven't performed before on this series. And this one was somewhat new to most of us. And it's just absolutely delightful.
String quartet in B-flat major. You say it's not played as often. I mean, certainly Haydn is as very accessible. It's lovely music for all times. And why do you think certain pieces, this one in particular, don't get played as often?
Well, it's actually, there's a very peculiar reason for that. In the 19th century, there was an edition of the celebrated quartets, and it was, I think, somewhat arbitrary which ones were labeled celebrated at that time, and it's become a foregone conclusion.
So once you call them celebrated, that's what they are forever, right?
So there's 30 that are in the first two volumes that just for that reason alone have stood out and gotten more. But there's also something to be said that he did improve with age, and mm-hmm. so the later ones are just get better and better.
As do we all. Can I ask you to play something from that that piece right now?
Sure. We'll start with the first movement of the Haydn Quartet in B flat, Allegro.
Thank you.
The Chompy String Quartet with the first movement of Haydn String Quartet in B-flat, Opus 50, on the program tomorrow with another That and More, September 20th. That's tomorrow, Baldwin Auditorium, 8 o'clock on the Duke campus. A beautiful piece. And you will also share the stage tomorrow with Awadagan Pratt, who is a remarkable performer. And for those who might not be familiar with him, tell us about him.
Well, you know, he does have quite a following in this area. He's given recitals and appeared in a number of different series. One thing that I think his career is pretty much exclusively focused on the piano now, and he won very important competition when he was younger, the Naumburg International Competition as a pianist. But he's the only person, I think, who has a distinction of having received advanced degrees from Peabody Conservatory as a pianist, a violinist, and a conductor. And we've actually haven't had a chance to chat about that. But, you know, a great many instrumentalists later in their career sometimes do get restless on the confines of their instrument. And mm-hmm. So I'm just curious if he might be thinking about becoming more active as a conductor or
That's
quite where he is with that.
But. Well, all of that. And he could have been a tennis player, right? I mean, I believe he had a career where he was in
Well, that's news
on.
To me.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we'll,
yeah.
You
know, he actually turned down a chance at the pro circuit.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. No. Those hands could have been applied a number of. Ask him about that.
Yeah, sure.
In fact,
of course.
What you do tomorrow night? I'm just saying this is a possibility. Just as he sits down, toss him a tennis ball.
Yeah,
that's a funny thing to do to the pianist before a concert. Flashy dresser too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he's known for kind of wearing these. Now, what are you going to do? Kind of really flat, like leopard print kinds of with sort of cheetah prints and cheetah lips and stuff. Big
we
stuff.
We asked him about dress. We talked about it at our rehearsal last night. And as I remember, he said he's going to wear a black shirt with things on it. And so I guess the things might be quite wild.
What do you do? How long do you have to work with guest artists like that? I mean, certainly there's an awful lot of work and preparation that goes into your pieces. Do you have much time for guest artists to work together?
You know, it's always a little different, and this time it's standard repertoire. So we feel very comfortable. We met with him last night. We're on our way from the radio station back to the campus to rehearse. We'll have some more time tomorrow morning. So it's a work that we feel great. It almost feels like a luxury to have 3 days.
Well, and maybe then you'll get a kind of preview of what those things are on a shirt. That'll be helpful. Well, and you have a number of other guest artists coming up throughout the season, many of whom are from North Carolina. Tell us about some of them.
Well, sure. You know that you mentioned the local connection with the Amarnay String Quartet. We're premiering a piece that was written by a graduate of the Duke Composition Program, Carl Schimmel. The third concert, which is in February, features a real local favorite, Nicholas Kitchen, and his wife, Isan Kim, who appear often with the Borromeo String Quartet, but we're bringing them down by themselves for a sextet performance. And you mentioned Anthony Roth Costanza, which is a collaboration we're very much looking forward to. That'll be something very new for him as well as for us.
Great stuff. Well, I want to hear some more music, but before I say goodbye, I want to remind everybody that the Chompy Quartet will begin the new fall season tomorrow at the Baldwin Auditorium on Duke's campus at 8 o'clock. They're going to be joined by Awadagan Pratt. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. I just want to point out, too, that next week is Movies on the Radio, and we're going to talk about musicals. So let us know what musical you loved, and maybe we'll put you on the radio. Send us an email, sot@wnc.org, or hashtag SOTMovie. All that, check out the Chompy tomorrow at Baldwin. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio. Once again, the Chompy String Quartet.
This is the Beethoven String Quartet, Opus 95, the final movement.
Thank you. Thank you.